The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Martial arts. Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? In Paris. Ho, 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 ho.
That was fantastic. I was hoping you would drag that out a bit longer. I'm trying to figure out how to say mixed martial arts in French. I don't think this is accurate. This is a Google translation. Ah, martial mixed. I don't think that is how it's said. So I apologize to all the French-speaking people out there. But we are here to talk UFC Paris, which goes down Saturday at Accor Arena in Paris, France. Of course, this is the voice of Alexander Kaylee introducing the MMA Fighting Preview Show panel of Jose Youngs. And of course, in the booth, the wonderful Casey Lynn. 11 fights going down Saturday, people. This is the return to Paris. Cyril Gane, homecoming. Manon Fiorot, I think, fighting in the UFC in Paris for the first... I have notes for these.
That is correct.
Yes, that is correct. Fighting in Paris for the first time in her career, period. Excuse me. Because obviously there was a long time ban on professional MMA competition in France. So Manon, found her success elsewhere. Now she gets a magnificent homecoming. If anyone watched the ceremonial weigh-ins that were on just about an hour ago, you saw a huge reception from most of the French fighters. This crowd is jacked up. They were heckling and booing all their opponents. The atmosphere is fantastic. Jose, where is your level of excitement for the UFC's return to Paris this year?
For the entire card? I wouldn't say quote-unquote jacked up, but they're very clearly fights that I'm interested in. Not the best card top to bottom. This feels more like a Bellator Paris card where, you know, you got 2, 3, 4 really good fights at the top, and then the rest, it's obviously a lot of local talent. A couple other interesting names or recognizable names on the prelims, but not the best. Certainly not the worst. On a scale of 1 to 10, maybe a 4.5, something like that.
Yeah, I don't mean to speak for Jed. I think if you were doing the Michelin star rating, this might not get one. This might not get a Michelin star. This might not get a Michelin star. I don't know if he would recommend for fight fans to, like, you know, to, but this would be worth a trip to Paris. And if you were traveling in Paris anyway, it would probably be worth checking out. But I don't know if this gets a Michelin star. Jed, if you're out there, I apologize for if I'm misinterpreting your card rating system. But yeah, it's nice at the top. I mean, we got Cyril Gane, we got Sergey Spivak, a hard-charging heavyweight, kind of maybe a little bit under the radar for some people. Then your co-main, you got Manon Fiorot and Rose Namajunas in what could be a number one flyweight contenders bout, but we will get to that. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk about Cyril Gane and Sergey Spivak. As I was sort of working on my preview for the show, I said one of the big narratives, I think, for the main and co-main is perhaps a fresh start for the A-sides of these fights, that being Cyril Gane and Rose Namajunas. I don't know if you see it from that way, Jose. Does Cyril, what's Cyril, besides obviously winning a fight, what does he have to gain from here? Where's he going to go from here if he puts on an impressive performance on Saturday?
It is a good reset button anytime you lose two in a row. Now, to be fair, he's lost to Francis Ngannou and Jones.
He beat Tai Tuivasa in there.
Two of three, mm-hmm. I'll say. So he's lost two of three, and to be fair, he's lost to Francis Ngannou and John Jones. You know, in my opinion, the greatest fighter of all time, and John Jones and Francis Ngannou, at worst, the second greatest, third greatest UFC heavyweight of all time. So nothing to hang your head down about. It's a good reset. This kind of reminds me of Derek Lewis's last fight in Salt Lake City, where, you know, he just took this fight, got that super impressive performance, and now all of a sudden everyone's talking about him again. So I just think this is a really good opportunity for Cyril Gane to reset in his hometown, especially if he just kind of outpoints the guy, like he has shown to do in some of his Apex cards. I'm sure the French crowd will be excited that he'll win, so at least he'll have that imagery of the raucous Parisian crowd. And then for Rose, again, it's the only thing she should be worried about now is getting the win in her flyweight debut and erasing, in her words, the image of her last performance, which was, again, in her words, one of the worst performances in UFC history. So, yeah, it's two reset buttons and much needed reset buttons for two very talented high level martial artists.
Yeah. Focusing on Cyril for now, is there anything he can do, Jose, to put himself right front and center in the heavyweight title picture again? We know that John Jones, of course, is defending against Stipe Miocic soon. We learned this week officially that Sergey Pavlovich is once again on backup duty after backing up Jones Gane last time. So you would think they've at least made some sort of promise to Sergey Pavlovich that he's getting a title shot, but we don't know. I don't know if he has that kind of Colby Covington privilege. Cyril Gane, you said, of course, getting a win, any kind of win, outpointing Sergey Spivak over five rounds would be great. But is there something more that he can do to say, you know, give me another shot, give me a third shot at becoming the UFC's undisputed heavyweight champion?
He's not going to get a title shot in his next fight. I think I don't think so. I think at worst he obviously could, depending on how injuries play out or how the chips fall, or even how the Madison Square Garden fight between John Jones and Stipe plays out. But I think Sergey Pavlovich is going to be one half of that title fight. I think since he's 0-2 in his last two title fights right now, I think he's still a step behind those guys. Even Jailton Almeida, who, if Jailton Almeida beats Curtis Blaydes, I even think he's a step ahead of Cyril Gane in terms of a possible next title fight. Now, if Jailton wins and Cyril Gane wins, even Sergey Spivak, if he wins, like the three of those, they might fight Jailton Almeida. I would imagine Tom Aspinall fights Sergey Pavlovich for the vacant heavyweight title, especially if John Jones wins, vacates. Stipe retires, because if Stipe retires, I'm on record saying if Stipe wins, I would imagine the UFC will probably try to do a rematch against John Jones, maybe headlines UFC 300, because that would just make sense, the greatest heavyweight of all time versus the greatest fighter of all time, headlining UFC 300 in a massive stadium, possibly in Las Vegas. I don't think Cyril gets a title shot right away. I think he's one more win away against another top prospects, just because he's 0-2 already. I don't think they're ready to throw him back in there right away.
Now, you did mention we are having to wait to see how some things shake out, injuries, layoffs, circumstances. The rare possibility that John Jones and Stipe both retire, I've been leaning towards that's not going to happen. Like, I think Stipe could retire. I don't know about John Jones. I think John Jones, even though he's kind of, you know, he hasn't really promoted like, oh, I want to fight Sergey Pavlovich, I want to fight Tom Aspinall. He hasn't really been big on that. He's kind of mentioned them. I still think he'll stick around for one more title defense, maybe. But if he doesn't, let's say John Jones gets a win, says I'm done. Stipe Miocic loses, says I'm done. Either or the reverse, either way. You don't think it's possible Gane ends up, can position himself as the favorite in a vacant title fight again? I know you kind of said you don't sound optimistic about it, but it could be, like we said, him Pavlovich, him Aspinall, Almeida's in there, or Sergey Spivak wins. Can Saturday, I guess I'm asking, is Saturday's main event, could one of these guys be one half of the a vacant title fight?
I mean, they could. I don't think Sergey Spivak would, because he's also already lost to Tom Aspinall. Mm-hmm. So I think Tom, if say there is a vacant title fight, it would have to be Tom and Sergey Pavlovich, just because they're both ahead of these guys in the foot race anyway. Cyril Gane, maybe. But I also think if they go back to London, Cyril Gane versus Tom Aspinall is kind of a perfect headliner for a fight night in London or Paris. You know, just two, like a big European heavyweight tilt, all European tilt at the top of the card against two of the incredibly talented young heavyweights of the world. Maybe. But again, like, I don't think Jailton Almeida is going to beat Curtis Blaydes. But if he does, I don't know how you can't include him in the conversation, too, because he's not the biggest heavyweight. He does three things very well in every single one of his fights, and that's front kick, double leg against the fence, take you down, submit you. I don't think he's going to do that to Curtis Blaydes, but if he does, you can't not have him in the conversation either. So I think one half is Sergey Pavlovich, and then it's pretty much a foot race to who's the man standing opposite him.
I think most people would agree with you, Jose. I think even Cyril Gane, I don't think he's not kicking down the doors right now saying like, oh, if I, you know, I want to get this win, get another title shot. He certainly wants one in the future, but Cyril has pretty consistently been one of the more like level-headed, thoughtful fighters. A delightful interview, I think. And I don't think...
His words at UFC Media Day, if anyone watched it, he's like, I made my MMA debut in 2018. Like, I got time. Like, he's very realistic of his path. And that used to be Tom Aspinall. And then he got hurt. And then I think he kind of opens like, oh, I can't do this forever. Mm-hmm. So I think I bet if they give Tom the vacant title shot against Pavlovich, I think that would make the most sense all around. But, you know, money talks and where they go and what markets they're breaking into plays a big factor as well.
Yeah, as you said, Gane doesn't have a lot of wear and tear. He keeps himself in amazing shape between fights, as far as we can see. Again, not that guarantees not getting injured, but it certainly helps, especially when you're one of the bigger guys in MMA. You stay in shape and probably, you know, you can avoid any sort of freakish things happening to you. Fingers crossed. So I think, yeah, like I said, I think everyone agrees it's probably not a title fight next. That the UFC has other options for a vacant title fight. So just talking about this matchup, how concerned are you, Jose, with... Well, let me ask you this. How concerned were you when you heard this fight was announced? Because we know it's not a secret, and Cyril Gane knows it. Wrestling has been a problem. He got out-wrestled by Ngannou, completely dominated by Jon Jones. I don't know how people compare Sergey Spivak specifically, his grappling skills to those guys, but he does like to grapple. He does like to take down, does like to submit people. How worried are you for Cyril Gane here?
I don't know. It's such an interesting matchup because Francis Ngannou is not a very good MMA wrestler, and he took down Cyril Gane a lot. And even Jon Jones said, like when Anthony Smith, I think he did an interview with Damon Martin, he said that he thought Cyril Gane was a worse matchup for Jon Jones than Francis Ngannou. And Jon Jones was like, I'm not overly worried about a guy that Francis Ngannou was able to take down a ton. How good you can get at wrestling in that sent from March to now, I don't know. I've not seen much of, and I've seen none of Cyril Gane's fight camp. Sergey Spivak obviously choked out Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is not even remotely close to being healthy in that fight. And then took down Greg Hardy and beat him up with ground and pound on the ground. Greg Hardy is not a good MMA fighter. And then the rest of his wins are, you know, every fight goes up in level in terms of talent. He's lost to Tom Aspinall, who's right there with Cyril Gane as the most promising young heavyweights in the world, and Marcin Cebure, who just got absolutely dusted by Tom Aspinall. And I know MMA math doesn't exist and should not exist. I don't know, because I don't think Sergey Spivak is the best wrestler in the division, but Cyril Gane has looked like he has never wrestled a day in his life when he faces these guys like Jon Jones and Francis Ngannou, who are opposite ends of the wrestling skill set tree. I have absolutely no idea how this fight is going to go, because Sergey Spivak could just take him down and choke him out, or Cyril Gane could punch him once like he's done to, you know, Junior Dos Santos and Tide Tuivasa and send you reeling right away. I have no idea. This fight could play out in a multitude of ways, and I'm not going to try and guess.
That's great, because this is the perfect time for me to say, Jose, we need to make our predictions for the fight. Let's start with you. Go ahead. Who's going to win? How's it going to go? Great segue. Really, really professional segue.
I'm going to say Cyril Gane. I think Sergey Spivak is very good. I don't think he's the best wrestler in the division, like I said, but he's obviously, I think he's much better than Cyril Gane. That being said, I do take into account that Derek Lewis was pretty open that he was very injured and very sick or whatever in his fight against Spivak. Remember, they were supposed to fight, and then he pulled out, and then they rebooked it, and he just wasn't ready to go. I would favor Derek Lewis in that rematch against Sergey Spivak, too, especially the Derek Lewis that showed up in Salt Lake City with that flying knee and the six-pack abs. I think it's not going to go like Ty, because I think the Ty fight, I think Spivak will actually try to wrestle. I think he will find some success. I think Cyril will defend as best he can, and I think Cyril will land a punch or a flurry or a strike, whatever, that will hurt Spivak, and then Cyril will swarm for the TKO. I don't think he's going to knock him out cold. I don't think he's going to submit him. I think it's going to be either rock him on the feet, finish him on the ground, or finish him against the fence, something like that, because Cyril is a very good striker. Spivak is in shown that he can get clipped and finished. I think it's going to be one of those. I don't think it's going to be a club and sub. I think it's going to be a club and then kill him with death by a thousand lunchboxes against the fence.
Let me go to producer Casey. Can I bring you in here for a prediction? A man who knows what it's like to dominate a fight with grappling.
Stop it.
Are you team Spivak here? Are you going team Spivak? Do you think Gon, I hate this word, but did he get exposed a little bit in his two, you know, his two championship fights? That wrestling is it, deficiency, is it too much? Is it too much to overcome?
No, because he's lost to two of the greatest heavyweights ever to enter the cage.
Fair.
That's who he's lost to. And fair. who you lose to is what matters, not if you lost. I'm going to take the are you asking for a prediction?
Give me your prediction, sir, please.
I'm pretty confident. I think Gon's got this. Unless Spivak can kind of make, make, from my opinion, giant leaps improvement as far as overall as a mixed martial artist. I think Gon's just a better overall athlete, and I think he essentially, I think he shit the bed with John Jones. I think John Jones is obviously a better fighter, but the way he dominated that fight isn't reflective of how good Cyril Gane really is. So I think Gane still got it, and I think it should be a pretty dominant victory decision. Maybe.
Yeah,
might not be exciting, but. But I think Gon's going to be smart about this and just use that big octagon to his advantage.
It's
Jose.
It's this is going to be the only time this sentence will ever be said ever. This matchup with Cyril Gane really does remind me of when Felicia Spencer, she lost to Chris Cyborg, got a win, and then lost to Amanda Nunes. And we were like, yeah, she lost to the two greatest women's fighters in the history of martial arts. And then, do you know what happened to her next fight after she lost to Amanda Nunes? She lost a real bad fight to Norma Dumont. This is, you know, it's a trap. It's similar to, I don't know if AK watched, but Canada lost to Brazil. It was like, it's like a trap game.
Familiar. In what sport?
It's like, in the basketball. RJ Barrett led them to a sweet loss.
Didn't hear about that.
It's a trap fight. It's, you know, everyone saying like, oh, you lost to the two greatest fighters ever in this division. You know, you should have your way with anyone else. And then Norma Dumont shows up and beats Felicia Spencer. I'm not saying Sergey Spivak is Norma Dumont, but he could play the same role. You know, I also don't know what Cyril Gane's, you know. Actually, I do know because he talked about it, the MMA media. Someone asked, like, Oscar Willis goes, are you bummed out at all that you might not get the rematch? He's like, I don't really care. They won. That's okay. So I don't think he's stressing on it too much. But
Spivak
could play spoiler. Yeah.
He's so unshakable. I'm with you guys. Sorry. I'll make it a sweep as far as predicting a Gane win. Jed and I always harp on this. Being a plus athlete at heavyweight is such an asset. Gane is maybe one of the three best, most athletic, most coordinated heavyweights in the world. He's been that way since he debuted with the UFC. He's still that way. Sergey Spivak is not a bad athlete, by the way. I'm not saying he's bad. He's probably just closer to average for the weight class than Gon is. And that can go a long way. That athleticism can make up for a lot of deficiencies. I think he's going to be able to move around a lot and in such a way that it's going to make it really difficult for Spivak to get a hold of him. He might get taken down, but I'm going to have some confidence he'll be able to work his way up or at least survive a round without getting submitted, without getting finished on the ground. So I think Gon's going to be evasive, again, super athletic, super agile, really, and responsible defensively. And he'll find a finish, a TKO in second or third round. I'll go late second. So we're across the board working Gon. But
do you agree this was the correct fight to make? For both, yeah. For both guys,
sure.
The location, no problem, the timing, yeah. Everything.
Oh, I got no problem with the matchup.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, it actually makes a lot. It's just in general, and so just good on the UFC for the timing and the location. So everything makes sense in that. Because a lot of times we just get weird fights sometimes, but this one makes sense for both opponents and the promotion.
It made sense. It's similar to the Tom Aspinall-Tabura fight. Like Tabura and Spivak are not the biggest names, but meritocracy-wise, it did make sense, especially for the location. Sometimes they get it right.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get it. This was solid. And Spivak, he deserves a shot to jump up. 7-3.
He's definitely the B-side in this.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
But he's earned that spot in the main event. Yes.
This is how spoilers are made. We can talk now about the co-main, which some would argue it's not, I don't want to say it's a bigger fight. It's probably about equal, but there's title implications here. There's a definite storyline here. And I don't know if it's a stretch to say that Rose is the most popular fighter on the card. So she will be facing again France's own Manon Fiorot, who seems to have done enough to earn a title shot, but flyweight is actually pretty competitive at the top. So we don't know if that's going to happen. But yes, the A side of this fight, despite Manon being in front of the home crowd here, will be Rose Namajunas, in my opinion. Manon will get the second walkout. But Rose, coming off, you call it one of the worst, one of the most boring, one of the most confusing fights, maybe all of the above. Her rematch with Carla Esparza, to this day, I mean, people are still talking about it, still scratching their heads about it. She still has to answer questions about it, as she did at Media Day. how is she going to look? I mean, it feels like we've asked this question a lot ahead of Rose fights because of the time in between, because of how differently she herself has admitted when she's the champion, when she's the challenger, she has a completely different mindset. I don't even know. I'm not going to ask for the prediction just yet, of course. Jose, I'll say, what do you expect to see from Rose Namajunas when she, from walkout to the fight itself? What do you expect to see from her?
I have no idea. And mm-hmm. I said this on Between the Links yesterday because I stopped trying to figure out Rose a long time ago. She was the reigning champion and she would take a lot of time off and then come back and have really impressive performances. She would take time off when she wasn't the champion, come back and have bad performances. She head kicked Wei Li. She lost to Jessica Andrade, but she beat Jessica Andrade. I thought Jessica Andrade won that fight. And then she beat Wei Li, and a lot of people think Wei Li won that fight. So I have absolutely no idea what Rose is going to show up because she's been one of the most unpredictable fighters in terms of what she presents in the octagon that she's one of the fighters that I'm not going to try to guess because she could dust you with a head kick or she could lay an egg like Carla. She's been on both ends of the spectrum. Is Israel Adesanya was like that for a minute, especially with the Paulo Costa and the Yoel Romero stuff, but he's obviously definitely erased that. Especially with the last performance. Will Rose do that against Manon? I don't know. Manon kicks a lot. I know our colleague Jed Minshew said Manon is not. He said I think his phrase. What was his phrase yesterday? BTL case. He's like Manon sucks. I don't think she sucks by any means.
He used that phrase a lot. He used that phrase a lot with some.
I don't think Manon for real sucks at all. I think she's she's an actual flyweight that kicks a lot, kicks really hard. She's beaten everyone put in front of her in the UFC, and it's leveled up every time. She's slowly been growing and growing and growing. The face-off for the Rose, she definitely looks like the bigger fighter. Rose looks like a strawweight that just didn't cut weight. Manon looks like a flyweight. I'm curious. So I'm very curious if Rose's power translates from strawweight to flyweight. I think that's the question everyone's going to have in this fight and if Manon tries to grapple because she's beaten tall fighters in Khalid Chookagian and Rose has never seemed like she struggled to make strawweight, but I obviously never really saw her weight cuts. I'm just curious how she just because like look what happened to Chris Weidman. Look what happened to Israel Adesanya. They're very good middleweights, and then they go up to 205, and they just get Weidman gets dusted, and John Blachowicz just wrestles Israel, and essentially it's their weight classes for a reason. Either scenario wouldn't surprise me if Manon did either.
You mentioned the size,
flyweight champion right now is a former strawweight,
right? So, and with that, it's like what Dustin Poirier said when he went from featherweight to lightweight. It took him a few fights to actually feel mm-hmm. like a lightweight. Mm-hmm. Alexa Grasso, you know, she also didn't fight because like she fought Macy Barber, who was also a strawweight, and then she kind of worked her way up.
Grasso also struggled with that weight cut very often. Yeah. I don't know how Rose is going. I mean, just Rose never missed. So she might have had a hard time too. But Grasso, I think, missed at least twice, including one massive miss.
Yeah, so she Vegas probably canceled her fight against Claudia because she missed so much.
They had to. So she was probably headed toward flyweight all along. This kind of leads to my next question. Casey, I don't know if you had want to make one more point there.
Oh, no, I do talk about strawweights going up the flyweight and being successful or not. But the difference of Grasso, though, is Grasso didn't jump into the top three mm-hmm. of the division. And mm-hmm. that's what Rose is doing. Like if this was Rose versus, I can't think of a name, but someone ranked number
Jennifer 16. Maia.
Jennifer Maia, yeah. Even whoever's behind Jennifer Maia, but around that area, I think we'll be a little more confident in Rose's capabilities. But going against someone very athletic, very big for the weight class, like Manon Farrow, that's, I think, we're kind of wondering.
So, and I pulled up Alexa's like fights. Like she quote unquote lost to Carla Esparza, which I don't think any of us think she lost that fight. That was an awesome fight too. And then her next fight was a flyweight and she fought Kim Ji-yoon, Macy Barber, JoJo, Vivian Araújo. Like every single one was just One more. Like Casey said, it wasn't top three right away. She allowed her body to physically get big for that division.
And also being co-main event on a, I know this is a fight night for us, but this is essentially like a pay-per-view in for Paris. The crowd's going to be for the French people. So there's a lot of attention and press on her too. So I wonder if that pressure is going to be good for Rose, because that pressure clearly hurt her in the Carla fight. But there was also a lot of her previous loss to Carla too. She doesn't have history of Manon right here. So this fight is very interesting because there's so many unknown variables, especially from the psychological stance. And we're completely guessing because we just aren't inside Rose's head.
Good on Manon too for taking this fight. This is a dangerous fight. Some coming off a bad performance unranked in your division.
Mm-hmm. This, I think, is a sentiment we all share is, and Jose said it right at the top, figuring Rose out is nearly impossible. Figuring out most fighters out is pretty difficult, like trying to get in their heads and trying to figure out what they're thinking. Rose in particular, based on just how, the breaks she's taken, how she's performed in her career, her interviews, things she says in her interviews, she's a complicated character. She's a complicated figure.
It is also, last thing on this, it is refreshing. Mm-hmm. Well, last thing for me, I don't know if you guys do, but it is refreshing to see Rose not be in a rematch, because I feel like it's just, it's Joanna, Jessica, Whaley, and then even Carla. I know there was a gap, but it was just rematches and rematches and 5-round title fights. It's refreshing to see Rose take a 3-round non-rematch.
Yeah, and I wonder, I even know for almost for sure, this is one of the reasons she was probably happy to move up to 125 to get out of that cycle, because she could have angled her way into a third Weili fight. Right? I mean, she beat Weili twice. It just sounds like she's beaten her. It's not about the title. Sure, she could go get the title again, but in her mind, I think she's like, well, I beat Weili. I beat her again. I don't really feel inclined to do that fight again. And who can blame her? I'm sure, especially the second fight was super tough. I mean, the second fight was like, I don't know if anyone who would want to go through another 5 rounds with Zhang Weili. So, but
if she was a strawweight, she would be getting fed to Tatiana Suarez next.
It could be that too, yeah. And Tatiana has wanted to fight Rose, so that could definitely be made. But is this the right? Is she going up for the right reasons to avoid all these rematches? Not to deal with this extra 10 pounds weight cut. I know this is really more of a question for post fight, but win or lose, Jose, do you think that this is the right thing for her to do at this stage in her career?
Why not? I mean, why not? Rose, like I said, I've stopped trying to figure out Rose a long time ago. She could easily drop back down. I assume she could drop back down to strawweight, especially with Weili being the champ and everything. Maybe she just wants to see how the division shakes up. But if she loses, we might never see Rose again. If she wins, we might never see Rose again. I am not going to try to figure out Rose, because even when she was the champion, if she would have retired, I wouldn't have been surprised either.
Oh, sorry, guys. I saw someone asking in the comments, maybe more than one person. So I know we'll do the questions later, but since we're talking about Rose, do you think that there's any chance that this is her last fight if she loses?
It's always a possibility with Rose.
Yeah, it could happen.
How would you guys feel about that? Casey, I'll go to you. How would you feel? How would you feel if she's like, even not right away? If you got the sense that, like, she's non-committal, like didn't announce her retirement, doesn't leave the gloves in, but kind of like you kind of getting a vibe that, like, ooh, this might, that might be it. Like she's been fighting for a long time. She's been fighting since
as a fan, I'll be bummed because
agreed.
Take away the Carla second Carla fight. Rose is an incredible athlete, incredible fighter, incredible personality in the sport. Just an incredibly unique person there's no other Rose. There's only Rose, she's one of one. So if she leaves the sport, that will be a bummer as a fan, but as someone who cares about humans and people, if her heart's not in it, happy trails, Rose, happy trails. I was at her date and like, I was at her debut fight in Invicta. I was at the fight when she got the flying armbar. So I feel like I got to see the whole journey of Rose as a professional fighter. And if she looks bad tomorrow night or tomorrow afternoon, whatever, maybe she's like Korean Zombie, where she's like, you know what? If I can't be the best, I don't want to be, the whole Ricky Bobby thing. You know?
Was the flying armbar when she also did like the greatest celebration and the greatest celebration, ran the whole thing, bounced on the mat. It was
incredible. Like a 3-year-old dancing, you know, just like,
in the best possible way too.
In the best possible way, not
in a bad way, like in an awesome way.
Yeah.
That's a great moment. Jose, you'd be fine. Again, putting aside the, of course, we're fine with any time a fighter decides to, you know, not put themselves through this crazy routine anymore. You'd be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with the Rose Namajunas experience. How'd you feel?
I would be super bummed if we never got to see Rose in a fist fight again, because she's very fun to watch. She's a very, like Casey said, she's a very fun, unique individual, and I think this sport needs that. She's very open with all of her mental health and everything like that, which I also think is important. But if she just wants to go, you know, be a farmer, the world needs farmers. Like, the world's never not going to need farmers, and she seems to really enjoy that. So I'm good with whatever makes her happy. But selfishly, as a fan, I would be super bummed, because I really like watching her compete, and she's been very vocal with, like, there are a lot of champions that will be like, you know, I want to fight the person that is like the biggest name or makes me the most money. But she was very open words. Like, when she became champion, she's like, it's, you know, Jessica Andrade is next. Like, I understand she's won all these in a row. This was like 2019. And then I interviewed her on the red carpet, and Dana was kind of wishy-washy on Carla fighting for the title. Especially after she beat Yan Xiaonan, and Rose on the red carpet was like, no, Carla is next. Like, I'm telling you, I'm going to fight Carla Esparza next. And I always thought that was very refreshing as the reigning champion, that she understood that people put in the work and they deserve to fight for the title. So again, I would miss Rose's presence in the sport if she retires.
Yeah. It's funny. I was doing some writing for, preview stuff for this fight. That last fight was so damaging, at least to her recent brand. Like, you know, people calling it, oh, the most boring fight ever, herself calling it the most boring fight ever. People have, I hope nobody forgets how friggin' unbelievable her career has been, both whether we're talking about, you know, wars that went the distance or highlight reel finish. She's got some amazing finishes. And we shouldn't be eulogizing her anyway. I just want to go yes or no, guys. Casey, with a loss, does Rose retire on Saturday?
No, she does not retire.
No. Okay. Jose, same question. Is this the last time we see her fight on Saturday? If she loses?
No, but if she loses, I would imagine she takes a lot of time off.
Okay. And there's nothing wrong. She's only like 31, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think she's a year younger than me. Yeah, she's a year younger.
Yeah.
She's essentially right at her athletic peak right now, but mentally, years in the sport, who knows what her motivation is. And that's what we're going to find out. I think if it looks like an uninspired performance, I guess we'll call it that, an uninspired loss. I mean, it could be, she might lose a great fight and that's something different. But if she looks just like, oh, Manon takes her down, or Manon just front kicks her for 15 minutes or whatever, then maybe I think we might question her will to be in there. But if she just loses because Manon is better that night, I think she'll, you know, get back in the gym and we'll see her again.
Yeah. That's my only one. That's probably one of my bigger issues with this matchup is Manon is not the fighter you want to put in there with someone. No. If you're trying to showcase them, she's tricky. Like, she is tricky. She comes from that karate background. She is tricky. She's more experienced than her record would suggest as far as combat sports goes. So we'll go right into predictions here. I'll say I am actually leaning towards Manon Ferreux to get the win via decision. Somewhat competitive fight. I will say not controversial. I think she'll outpoint Rose. I think the size matters. I think the layoff matters too. Ring rust being a state of the mind, whatever you want to call it. But I do think Manon being a bit busier, and just, you know, seemingly more active, it will make a big difference. So I do have Ferreux winning by decision and possibly entering himself a crack at the UFC flyweight title. Casey, what do you got? Who do you got winning on Saturday?
I'm going to go with Rose, 29-28. Sorry, 29-28. I think it will be a competitive fight, but I think Rose just overall is a better mixed martial artist. And I think her good use of angles and in her stand-up will compensate for her, maybe, I'm assuming, lack of size. And And we have we seen Manon really tested on the ground? Actually, I mean, I can't.
No, a little bit. Like they tried. Jennifer Maya and Bueno Silva tried, but they just couldn't do anything.
Yeah. So, I think Rose will get her down. I don't think she'll be able to submit Manon. I'm going to give her that. But I think Rose just having more ways to win will win a competitive decision.
Jose, I go to you. You're the tiebreaker. Where are you going?
I'm picking Manon 29-28, but I think it's going to be – I agree with Casey that I think Rose is the better martial artist. I just think size, length, and everything is the factor. And I also agree that Rose is incredible with her angles and like when that duck switch into the when she knocked out Joanna.
Amazing.
Manon has fought in a lot of strikers in her life. She's a black belt in karate. I think she's seen a lot of angles too. I just think size and length is going to be the deciding factor. Rose is the better martial artist, but weight classes are there for a reason. I think if Rose had built her way up to Manon, like in a year or two, she would beat her. But right now, that ceremonial weigh-in, Manon just looked like the bigger fighter. And I think that's going to be the deciding factor.
So we got two Manons and one Rose. But we're all expecting a somewhat – I don't think anyone is expecting Rose to get blown out of the water at 125.
And Manon has had a ton of amateur fights too, MMA fights. Like she's an IMMAF, whatever that is. Like she's won – she's like a champion like multiple times in that, or at least reached the finals multiple times. So her pro record does not indicate how many like total MMA fights she's had.
Mm-hmm. And fighters that go through that system, I can't remember the IMMAF or whatever it's called. That's a very tough system, and it's super tough. If you win that or come out at the top, you do well as a pro. Yeah.
And she's won. I just looked it up. She won the 2017 one where she fought. Both of the ones she was in, she fought twice in one day, and they were both 3-round decisions. So fighting 6 rounds in one day in Bahrain is not an easy thing to do.
It's not bad. Did Makhachev come up? Yeah, Makhachev did some IMM AF, right? Yeah,
so go. Did Shorty Torres did that a lot too? Like
that's not bad.
There's a few fighters, yeah.
For big sure. Up Shorty Torres, brave champion now too. Friend of the program.
Finally got that title around his waist. This were my best friend Mike Heck here. This is the part, or my other best friend Shaheen Al Shadi here. This is the part where they'd ask for your low key banger, but I want to make sure we talk about the not quite co-main event, not quite main event fight between Benoit Saint Denis and Thiago Moises. We don't need to go in depth on this one. I just want to say this fight is effing awesome. I love it. When people when people do the bantamweight versus lightweight debate, I lean bantamweight every time, but you throw a fight like this out there between two guys who are like maybe top 25, top 30. It's just awesome. It's just style-wise, it's great. Where they are in their careers. Thiago Moises, I think, one of the more underappreciated guys of 155.
Oh, yeah.
He's lost like Benil Dariush, Islam, right? But like, okay, you know, what are you going to do? So he's not a top 10 guy, but boy, he is good. And he's only 28, I think. So he's plenty of career for Thiago Moises ahead of him. Benoit Saint-Denis shaking off that very ugly UFC debut where like it was at welterweight, so weight class above. Two is a fight that probably should have been stopped. He took a nasty beating, I'm very glad that he has moved on from that and thrived undefeated at 155 in the UFC so far and finishing people, putting on exciting fights. This is a perfect. I don't know if there's such a thing of the third to last fight. Like, you know, it's not the co-main, not the main, but this is a perfect third to last fight. This is going to have win or lose. This is going to have unless Moises takes him on like 30 seconds. The Paris crowd is going to be going insane for Benoit Saint-Denis. So this is perfect matchmaking.
Yes. That's the fight that he lost in his debut that the referee got fired. Ugh, like
my God.
Right after that fight.
Horrible. Horrible.
Wait, which fight was this?
Zaleski? Was it Zaleski?
It was in UFC. Zaleski also popped after the fight, but it was such a blatantly, like it should have been stopped at least a dozen times. That the UFC and the athletic commissioner or whatever were like, you got to go. Like he wasn't allowed to ref the rest of the game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gotta go. Also on the main card, we have Volkan Uzdemir fighting Bogdan Guskov. Guskov, I believe, is stepping in for, yes, Azamat Mirzakhanov, making his UFC debut. Cage Warrior standout, William Gomez fighting Yanis Gamori. I think they're both French. This is French, France on France violence. And then in the main card opener,
yeah, Cage Warrior this
champion.
This is the fight that I'm excited for.
Whoa. You know what, Jose? I'll just say this is Cage, former Cage Warriors champion, Morgan Chedier.
And I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name.
Morgan. And newcomer Manolo Zucchini, probably, I should say. And there you go. So that's a pretty solid main card. But go ahead, Jose, if you want to talk about Morgan a little bit, pick him up.
Morgan is so good. Morgan, I feel like he was a guy that we were waiting for him to get into the UFC for a long time. He's the guy that walks out with the pirate flag. He obviously can't do that in the UFC, but he's the last pirate. I know he's like,
oh, him
20 and 10 or whatever. Like, he's had so many fights and he's so fun, and he's never going to be a champion. That's very rude of me to say. I don't think I don't think he will ever be champion, but he is always going to be in exciting fights. And if you ever go to Paris, if you ever go anywhere in Europe, he's the perfect main card opener to set the tone for the main card. His fan base is nuts. Like, if you go on the internet and like search, like he's very popular on social media, to the point where the UFC did a breakout of his face off for Instagram. Like, that's how popular he is. I'm very excited for this fight. I had been waiting for him to join the UFC for a very long time. I feel like he had a couple of those, like, hey, if you win this fight, you're going to get to the UFC. And he's like stumbled a bit, like the Paul Hughes fight, which we're not going to get into the Paul Hughes who should be in the UFC right now. But then he's won, I think, what, 2-3 in a row. One of them was a doctor stoppage, like after round one too. So I'm very excited for him to fight. He's has a ton of fight. I can't say enough positive things about him in terms of his fighting style. I'm excited. And his fan, he's going to bring in a big fan base.
I'm sold. I'm excited.
Yes.
I hope this is
UFC, send this man a check.
I'm into it.
Hope it's a good fight.
I don't know a lot about Manolo, to be honest.
This is a fight because, yeah, so Manolo has like almost all of his fights have been by knockout. King Mogo, I think is his nickname, Morgan's nickname, has like a massive amount of knockout. Someone's going to die in this fight.
Okay.
Cool.
Someone's going to bed.
Nicer.
And I'm not saying Morgan's going to win. I'm not being like, oh, Morgan's going to announce his friends. Like, I think he's a guy that's kill or be killed. And I'm excited. I'm very excited for this fight.
We had that was the main card. We had an interesting little shuffle actually this week because Taylor Lapolis making his return to the UFC, by the way. He left he left 3-1 coming off a win. Back in the day, he was supposed to fight Muin Gafarov. Gafarov having visa issues, and Yanis Gamori on the main card was supposed to fight Kaolin Lochran. And what happened there? Oh, they got moved William Gomez was supposed to fight Lucas Almeida. Sorry, so Lucas Almeida got injured. So William Gomez is now fighting Gomori. Gomori having to go up to 145. And Lapolis and Lochran got matched up. So we still got some pretty good matchups. Lapolis really should have never been let go by the UFC. I think his contract just ran out and they didn't re-sign him. And to this day, he's kind of like he's not entirely sure why. And Lochran made quite a show of himself at the ceremonial weigh-ins, flipping off the crowd. And then making a obscene gesture of self pleasure, I guess is the nice way I can put it, at the crowd. It was not very kind.
Wait, give himself a back massage? What are you talking about?
He mimed giving himself a back massage. Exactly. Which was very offensive to the French. They're like, no, we give each other massages around here. How dare you? Angelusa, Reese McKee, kind of a sleeper banger of a fight in the prelims. That could be really nice. Jocelyn Edwards, women's bantamweight belt with the debuting Nora Kornol. Yes, it's pronounced as you think it is.
Please, a women's jokes. Bantamweight fight?
This an is, actual women's and a new let's women's
celebrate.
Bantamweight.
Let's celebrate.
Bantamweight, another men's bantamweight bout, Fareed Basharat, Clayton Rodriguez, and a catchweight bout. Sorry, guys, not a women's bantamweight bout. People thought it was. Apparently, it was always meant to be a catchweight bout. Zara Fairn.
Why is that a catchweight fight? Who's the feather?
Because Frances Zara Fairn is in it, and she cannot make 135 to save her life. She's fighting the newcomer, Jacqueline Cavalcanti. And Zara almost missed the catchweight. I don't know if you saw that. Casey, she came in 140 and a half, and she needed the extra hour to make 140. She needed an extra hour to make the catch weight. So this was never meant to be a bantamweight bout. It was always a catch weight, and thank goodness she made it.
And Zara is 0-3.
She needs this, to put it nicely. She needs this. And it's not like her fights have been, well, you know, she's lost in pretty spectacular fashion. So.
Yeah, Megan got Felicia got her, then Josie Nunes got her.
Well, she'll be fighting in her home country for the first time since 2015. So good luck to you, Zara Fairn. Hopefully she this inspires her and gets her win, keeps her in the UFC, because this is definitely her last shot. But yeah, any of those fights you guys want to showcase before we move on?
Jocelyn Edwards, veteran of Robbery Review, if I remember correctly.
What fight was that again? Yes, I wrote that.
Her last fight. To the point where literally the second the fight ended, everyone was like, Robbery Review, AK.
Yes, Pudilova. And she missed weight for that fight. So women's bantamweight.
Yeah.
Even the commentators were like, this is some tomfoolery.
Women's bantamweight is the best. I say this time and time again. I say bantamweight, lightweight, women's bantamweight. Casey, I guess we can go to the questions. Please ignore anything that has the phrase in or them or dog in some combination. I will not be answering those questions. You should know now.
All right. Questions. About this card, guys. We kind of answered this earlier, but just... Mm-hmm.
What do we got?
But someone's at... Ooh, shoot. Hold on. This is all crazy.
Yep. Pro Fights Info. Yeah, this is sort of what inspired me to ask the question. Pro Fights Info just wants to know, does Rose Namajunas retire if she loses? Not necessarily retires on the spot, but in Rose fashion, just kind of fades away, doesn't fight again. Yeah, we touched upon this a bit. I will say it's worth discussing why would she retire? And again, we said she's unpredictable. And I do wonder, and I'm sure she's well off, she's made a good amount of money fighting, but someone in our chat brought this up to me. When I was like, why doesn't Chris Weidman just retire? And it's like, when you're making six figures to fight and it's still something you enjoy, it's like, it's pretty strong motivation not to walk away. So I think I could see her taking a break, but probably coming back. I just don't sense the retirement anytime soon.
It's interesting if Rose retired, because it won't be because of her actual fighting skills or her body or anything. It's going to be something, mm-hmm. it's going to be mental in a sense that, does she want to do it? Because like the thing about it's interesting at Rose is like a lot of the fighters, they'll stay in the game a little longer than maybe they should, because that's who they are. They identify as a fighter. That's when people come, when people talk to them, they know them as a fighter before a person or whatever. I think Rose doesn't care about that. I think Rose doesn't see herself as a fighter first. She's just, you know, a farmer first, you know, She's Rose Namajunas first before a fighter. So Rose leaving the sport, who knows? I mean, honestly, Rose could leave on a win too, retire on a win. We don't really know with Rose right now if her heart, if this is what she wants. So, that's never a good conversation though. I think coming into a fight, you know, like when you know, think about their prospects of Rose, like eventually fighting for a flyweight title or whatnot. It's just a lot of mystery coming into this. And, I only saw clips of her. I think the only interview that kind of that we saw was her media day interview. What was your sense of Rose's attitude? Like, did you get a good vibe from her?
I didn't get the sense at all that she's thinking about retiring. I didn't get that sense at all. She does seem a bit refreshed by not having to cut the extra weight, the possibility of new challenges in 125. Yeah, not having to be in that Zhang Weili, Joanna, Jessica Andrade meat grinder. Not that 125 is easy. I know 115 has traditionally been thought of as the deeper division, and 155 is banging right now, by the way. But 125 is, I think, super solid, especially at the top, which is the kind of fighters that looks like Rose is going to get matched up with. Plus, you got Silvamania coming up. But I thought her attitude was fine. I think she seemed pretty happy, pretty friendly. Yeah.
She said she had to get over it. Because she said she was kind of in her feelings after the last performance, especially all the negative reaction.
Yeah, and stay off the web.
Like, but then she's like, eventually, I realized, it was justified. And she speaks about fighting very interestingly, which I think her phrase is like, people watch me fight to be inspired. And I just didn't do that. And I was like, that's an interesting and astute way of breaking down your skill set.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility.
I think that's true. Because I think if someone like, say, Korean Zombie, I talked about this last week, but even though no one considers them like a pound for pound, featherweight great, Korean Zombie inspired fans when he fights, win or lose. And I think that's what maybe this is how she wants to be seen. Win or lose, she wants to be inspirational out there. And so I think the fact that she even said that out loud and to the media, I think we're going to see, a good Rose Namajunas. Now, will she be able to? Will the best Rose Namajunas beat Manon tomorrow night? I don't know, but I think that fight was a one off. I'm gonna give that's a one off. That's the Francis Ngannou Derek Lewis one off. That's never gonna happen again. I think Rose has done enough in her career that she's earned that kind of. All right, that was a crappy fight, but we all have those nights.
Payday says, I don't want Rose to retire. I don't have any tears left after the Robbie and TKZ retirement. Yeah, it's, I wonder where that would rank with people as far as how beloved she is, because I guess she hasn't quite been around as long as they have, but she's had so many memorable moments in her career. So, I don't think she retires. I'm not going to worry about that. Forrest Daniels wants to know, did Ngannou and Jones lay out the blueprints to beat Gon? I say yes, but it's a pretty difficult blueprint to execute. I don't know, Jose.
Yeah, I mean, even Cyril Gon said it after he lost to John. He's like, I don't really train between fights. I don't really do a lot of wrestling. So yeah, I think they laid it out and Cyril Gon was like, yeah, that's how you beat me. Like he himself said it. So correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Casey.
If you're not the better striker and Spivak is not the better striker, yeah, you get gravity working on your side and put him on his back. Yeah, I mean,
yep.
I mean, if Spivak can win the stand up,
oh man,
in this fight
that would be incredible.
That would be like we're like the whole
yeah.
That is Sergey Spivak outstrikes Cyril Gon, we have a new heavyweight contender.
Yeah, yes. Then we're putting Spivak up in that echelon. So yeah. If he takes down Gon and wins, I don't want to say lay and pray, but takes him down, grinds him out, gets a submission at some point, whatever. I think we're going to put the criticism on Gon rather than praise Spivak, I think.
Sure.
That's
unfortunately.
True.
Unfortunately.
Some of that happened with Jones, even the Jones Gon fight. So I'd be like, oh, Gon's no good. Like Gon is crap because he got done by Jones. I'm like, Jones just looked really damn good in his comeback fight. I don't know what to tell you. This guy's maybe the greatest fighter we've ever seen. He just wiped this insanely athletic, very tough heavyweight out in like 2 minutes. Yeah. But I also, do remember a lot of Gon taking a lot of crap after that fight. I remember.
And also, I think Jose pointed out earlier, Gon's only been fighting as a professional fighter how long?
It's 2018.
That's not very long at this level to fight at this level and to have no. And so he's fought in 2018. I'm sure he started training maybe a year and a half, 2 years before that. Mm-hmm. So that's just an incredible jump to go against John Jones. Even if we go against Francis Ngannou, Ngannou did a lot of damage to get to those spots too. I mean, guys he beat, he just, hit a wall and we're going to find out a lot about Gon. Can he own it? I have to improve in this. I have to get my ass kicked in the gym over and over and over again if I'm going to beat guys like Spivak, So we'll see.
Yeah. It's a matchup's going to answer a lot of questions, I think, in a lot of ways. So I'm interested. What else we got, Casey? Pro Fights Info again. Do you think the French crowd will be more hotter? Come on, guys, grammar. More tamer. Do you think the crowd will be more hot, more tame, or about the same as last time? Jose, I have the memory of a goldfish. I don't remember how hot the crowd was last
year. Oh, man. They could have melted that arena. It was unreal. That was one of the better crowds. It's going to be red hot in there because they haven't burned through that market yet. I feel like they kind of did that with England in the last.
Yeah, I think we're worried. Is this going to be the recent England crowd or?
Nah, I think because again, this is only the second UFC event ever in Paris, and you know Cyril is a superstar there. Like, go watch the fight with Tai Tuivasa and Cyril Gane and just listen to the crowd to the point where even the commentators, they're like, let's just not, they say like, let's just not talk and just let the crowd just go bananas. Like, if not for anything, you know, France has given us a lot of great things like democracy and art and all those kind of things. Like, their sports fans know how to do a chant. That's for sure. So it's a good time.
Yes, this was a year ago. Cyril Gane, Tai Tuivasa headlined. Also on the card returning, William Gomez won a fight in that card. He's fighting on Saturday, and Benoit Saint-Denis as well. So, yes, good on France for bringing the heat. As I said, the ceremonials, they were pumped as hell. They were cheering the French fighters so loud. So, you're right, Jose. If last year is any indication, if Friday's ceremonial weigh-ins are any indication, they're going to bring it. They're going to bring it. So, good for France.
We're good, sir.
We're good? We're good. That's it.
Anything else you want to talk about?
You know, I'll say I shouldn't, because you know, we'll save this question. I was going to do more Rose retirement talk, but I think we'll save that because I don't think that we see the last of her, barring something super unfortunate.
Oh no! One last thing.
It's better. Important. I swear, this better not be a troll question. Yeah, Pro Fights Info. I'm just saying, I'm an English major. I got to do what I got to do. Tamer.
Is that Kazushi Okada in a pirate hat?
It is.
Yes, it is.
And I'm pretty sure that's not Photoshop. I'm pretty sure Okada was just wearing a pirate hat.
Okada, known Morgan Charrier fan, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everybody. So remember, the card is at noon Eastern time, I believe, the one true time zone, noon Eastern time. It'll be early morning MMA for you gentlemen. And then the main card at 3 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me. 12:30. I'm sorry. 12:30 start time for the prelims Eastern time, 3 p.m. for the main card. There will be a live Q&A at 12-ish, Casey? 12-ish?
12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Yeah. The best time zone.
Okay. So look for that on MMA Fighting's YouTube, MMAfighting.com, on our social media. It'll pop up. You can't miss it. And thanks again, everyone. Look forward to the 11 fight card tomorrow, and we'll see you on the post-fight show as well. For Jose Youngs, for Casey Layden, this is Alexander K. Lee. Take care.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.